Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Final hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick and Chase McCabe along with Marquise Munson today. Darren McFarlane on vacation this week. And coming up at 1:30, we will talk to Will Gordon. And you might be saying, who's Will Gordon? Well, he's a Vanderbilt University golfer, a former Vanderbilt University golfer, now on the Pro Tour for the PGA, one of the few sports entities that is playing right now. They had a PGA tournament in Connecticut. Will Gordon, at 23 years old, finished third. He had an outstanding tournament. And so we'll check in with him at 1:30. We'll congratulate him and find out what's next. It's a great story because now he's going to be playing for the rest of the season for the most part with the sponsor exemptions and things like that. He has won his way in. So great story there.
Hey, Willie.
With some Vanderbilt ties.
Before we bring Adam in, I got a piece of breaking news that just wanted to throw this out there. NASCAR has just made a statement that concerns our city. With the uncertainty surrounding the coronavirus and the impact on the industry, this year's NASCAR's Champions Week and NASCAR Cup Series Awards, originally scheduled to take place in Nashville, will not occur. The 2020 NASCAR Cup Series, Xfinity Series, and Gander RV and Outdoor Truck Series champions will be celebrated at the end of the season with more details to come. But we look forward to returning to Nashville in 2021. So there you go.
Tough. So we got the news last night, of course. Got to wear the mask now. We're trying to get to phase four, but it's a battle right now, and it's still affecting the ability to have events like that. So, with that in mind, we bring in Adam Vingan. If you didn't pay attention, and it might have snuck in on you there, the draft lottery was Friday night. And something very interesting happened during the draft lottery. So we bring in Adam to tell us about it because he's written an article that I think a lot of teams now have become aware of because of the circumstances here. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Adam.
We are soldiering on here, moving forward here. So hopefully counting down to on ice, on field, on court action here sooner. We're a day closer than we were, regardless of what happens here. But so, Adam, tell people what happened on Friday night, if they weren't paying attention, because it's very complex on why and the format that they came up with this. But when they drew all the ping pong balls, tell people what the result was.
All right, I'll do the best I can to explain this because it even confused me as I was watching it. So as you mentioned, Willie, the NHL held its draft lottery on Friday evening. And as most people know, the NHL is planning to return later this summer, a 24-team format. So seven teams did not qualify for the quote-unquote Stanley Cup playoff. So those seven teams were entered into the draft lottery, as well as the eight teams that lose in the qualifying round of this tournament. The Predators are one of the 16 teams included in the qualifying round playing the Arizona Coyotes. So as they drew the ping pong balls, Team Placeholder, or was it Placeholder Team E? That's what it was called, Team E, which had a 2.5% chance of securing the number one pick in the NHL draft, won the draft lottery. So what that means is that one of the eight teams that loses in the qualifying rounds of the postseason tournament will win the number one pick in the draft. Each of those eight teams will have a 12.5% chance of obtaining the number one pick. So it is possible that if the Predators were to lose to the Arizona Coyotes in that qualifying round best of five series that's scheduled for sometime this summer, they could have the number one pick in the draft for the first time ever.
That was very well said. And so the bottom line is this would be a consolation prize for the eight losers in that qualifying round. I don't know if you're – are they officially calling these playoff games for the record, Adam? I don't think that they are, right? Like you have to win this to make the playoffs.
I don't think they are. I can't confirm that, but I don't think they are because I believe those eight losing teams in the qualifying rounds are considered non-playoff teams, which is why they will be included in the running for the number one pick. So I that would suggest to me that the quote-unquote Stanley Cup playoffs do not start until after the qualifying round, and they start with the first round.
That's how I understand it as well, which is interesting because, like, where do you put the stats for these games in these best-of-five series? They're not regular season games. They're not playoff games. So in the hockey register where you put these, they're going to have to go somewhere. So it's like its own separate category. But the net result that comes out of this is if the Predators lose to the Coyotes in this 3 out of 5, it'll be a bummer because they don't advance to the playoffs and get a chance to win the Stanley Cup. But the consolation prize is they would have a realistic shot of getting the first overall pick. The first overall pick, you know, not somewhere between 1 and 8, the number one pick, which, you know, most years, that's somebody who, you know, has a pretty good shot of being a big-time impact player. Now, it's only 12.5%, but at the same time, because you're in there with the other seven teams that lose in this 3 out of 5. So it's not like you got it. It's not like it's an 80% chance, but 12.5 is a legit shot.
It is, and the Predators have only – I was actually intrigued by this when I looked it up. The Predators have actually – only picked in the top 10 of the NHL draft 7 times in their history. And the last time they picked in the top 10 was when they selected Seth Jones at number 4 in 2013. Now, of course, the Predators have been a playoff team for the past 6 years, so they're not in the running for the top spot because they're a regular Stanley Cup contender or have been a regular Stanley Cup contender. So they haven't been bad enough to grab one of these, you know, elite-level prospects at the top of the draft. But now, this is an opportunity for a team that, quite frankly, if they were to lose to the Arizona Coyotes and somehow find a way to get the winning lottery draw, you know, and presumably draft Alex Lafreniere, he is a back-to-back CHL Player of the Year. The last player to do that was Sidney Crosby. We know how that's turned out in the NHL for Sidney Crosby. But when you think about this team, you think about the fact that in NHL terms, they're aging. Now, Dante Fabra was the only everyday player on the roster this season under the age of 25, as well as the only one signed to an entry-level contract. Adding an 18-year-old foundational piece, you know, would be great for this team. But that was the point of my article when it was released today on The Athletic. You know, in the aftermath of the draft lottery, it hasn't just been the Predators fan base. It's also been the other 15 fan bases in the qualifying round. Are discussing, is it worth it to watch my favorite team or root against my favorite team, you know, advancing in the playoffs or the tournament, if it means having even the slightest chance of drafting an elite prospect? And I was surprised by the number of Predators fans, because of course that's the fan base that I most pay attention to, who would be willing to sacrifice another shot at a Stanley Cup this season with this group if it meant even the slightest possibility that Alexis Lafreniere could be on the Predators starting next season. I think it's an interesting debate.
First, let's talk about this Lafreniere. Is he absolutely the number one pick? And where does he fall in the category ranging from, you know, prodigy like Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or somebody like that, as opposed to other guys who are first overall picks who are very good players but aren't that, you know, franchise-changing kind of guy.
Right. So, as I mentioned, Lafreniere had 112 points in 52 games in the Quebec Major Junior League this year, and my colleague at The Athletic, Craig Custance, wrote a story the other day where he actually took, I think, the last 10 number one picks in the draft and had 10 executives basically, redraft the last 10 top number one picks. And I think Lafreniere came in at number five. That means that the most recent 10 number one picks, which includes Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews and I believe Aaron Ekblad and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and players of that ilk, Lafreniere came in at number five. So, you know, is he a McDavid-like prodigy generational talent? No, but he is a very good player. He's the most NHL-ready player in this draft, according to experts. And, you know, certainly the Predators would not mind having him on their left wing for many years to come if that were to happen. But, of course, their number one priority, as it has been for the last several years, is winning the Stanley Cup.
So with that in mind, I think the answer is obvious. You know that you play to win. And if the odds were, you know, if you knew you had a 75% chance of getting it, that might sway me a little bit. But 12.5, they're still in, you know, what does that leave? 87.5% chance that you don't get the first pick. Right. And you're going to be picking in the middle of the first round or whatever the number ends up being. So I think, to me, the way I look at it, Adam, is it's a nice fallback. It'll soften the blow if they lose the 3 out of 5 to the Coyotes, which absolutely could happen. It's a coin flip, just like just about all those series will be when they're played, because everybody's starting fresh and, you know, all of those circumstances. So it might not have the sting if they come away unsuccessful in that series. But I think once they drop the puck, that's the last thing anybody's going to be thinking about.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And look, the NHL, you know, part of the league might like the fact that a placeholder team won the draft lottery because it facilitates conversations just like the one we're having right now in the markets that are participating in the qualifying round. At the same time, the flip side of that is I'm sure the league's intention was not to have those 16 fan bases talking about throwing those series in order to have a chance to have the number one pick. But it's certainly a great conversation starter. But I agree with you, Willie. If and when this tournament starts and the Predators drop the puck for game one against the Arizona Coyotes and wherever the heck they're going to play, whether it's Las Vegas or Edmonton or Toronto or Chicago or Los Angeles, you know, people are going to want them to win and have an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. So it's a great conversation starter for now and a great fallback plan, like you mentioned. I think as the games get closer, I think the opinions might change.
Has anyone checked on the Detroit Red Wings today, Adam, and how they feel?
They've had a rough go of it.
Or the Senators.
I watched Pierre Dorion, the general manager of the Ottawa Senators, do the Ask 31 podcast with Jeff Marek and Elliot Friedman, and he did his best, and I commend him for putting a smiling face on the fact that they ended up with the third and fifth picks when they could have had number one and two, or I think one and three, or whatever. But yeah, it certainly stings for the Red Wings, who had one of the worst seasons ever in the salary cap era, if not the worst, certainly up there. And ended up with the fourth pick when they had the best odds, I believe, of getting the number one pick. So, you know, I think the Red Wings have slid in the draft each of the last couple years, so they haven't had the best lottery luck. But yeah, to have a season like they did, I think they won 17 games, and to not have the number one pick, it certainly should hurt that fan base.
Adam, as we talk about some prospects here, Philip Tomasino, Igor Afanasyev are two names that Preds fans may have heard during their short time in the organization. But do you have any type of thought of when we might actually see them? I mean, is there a chance that Tomasino, the first pick last year by the Predators, that he could potentially make this team in the next year or two?
I think it's possible quite frankly, that Philip Tomasino could be on the Predators' taxi squad for the upcoming postseason tournament. Now, that doesn't mean he'll play in the game, but I would not be surprised if Philip Tomasino was among the black aces, so to speak, for the Predators in the playoffs or whatever you want to call them. But his stated goal is to make the team next season, and he had a fabulous season in the Ontario League. He had 100 points. He was the fourth leading scorer in the league. Makes the Predators look good for finding him at number 24 in the draft last year. But it sort of goes back to what we were talking about with Lafreniere. You know, the Predators, as we know, especially because of the coronavirus pandemic, the salary cap is going to be greatly affected. You know, the Predators are a team that spends close to the cap, and they don't have very many cheap entry-level contributors on their roster. As I mentioned, Dante Fabbro, the only player, everyday player for the team this year that was signed to an entry-level contract. So the more players like that you can have in your lineup, whether it's Elli Tolvanen or Philip Tomasino or Rem Pitlick, for example, the better it's going to be for the Predators financially. So, I mean, I think Tomasino, you know, could get some experience with the team this summer, just being around the group as an extra. But certainly I think, you know, if he were to make the team out of training camp, that would be great. Of course, because of his age, if he does not make the team out of training camp, he has to return to junior. He can't play in the American League. So that certainly throws a wrench in those plans. He can't play for the Milwaukee Admirals, but, you know, certainly Tomasino showed in the Ontario League this season that he has a very bright future.
Yeah, and you kind of hit on something that I was going to bring up with you of, are we at a point where, you know, it not necessarily going into and you got to play the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen with the Predators this year. But is it at a point where, as David Poile looks at the roster and not necessarily hits the reset button, but maybe tweak some things, and it's more towards those younger players and those contracts based on what you just brought up of some of the deals that he's given out over the last few years? And we know that Philip Forsberg is going to be up again in a few years. Mattias Ekholm, I mean, those are some staple players that he's going to want to keep. So it might make sense to try and lean on some of this younger talent.
Right. Like, for example, we know that the Predators' top pending unrestricted free agents are Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith. Now, the math would suggest that it's unlikely that both of them are able to be re-signed. So just for the sake of this conversation, let's say it's Mikael Granlund who enters free agency and leaves. He had a cap hit of $5.75 million. Now, you know, Elli Tolvanen has not blown anybody away in the American League, but I know he's well thought of within the organization, and they praise him for his willingness to be coached. You know, going from a $5.75 million cap hit to a, you know, $925,000 or $900,000 or whichever it is for Elli Tolvanen, I mean, that makes a huge difference. I mean, I know that Mikael Granlund is a much more established performer and producer than Elli Tolvanen, but those are the things that winning teams need to do, is they need to find those difference makers who are able to come onto a team and play well, you know, for a little money. I mean, look at Dante Fabbro, for example, you know, effectively replacing P.K. Subban, of course, not actually replacing P.K. Subban, but getting a lot of those top 4 minutes. You look at the third defensive pairing, for example, Yannick Weber, Dan Hamhuis, Corbinian Holzer, all pending unrestricted free agents. You know, now it's time for someone like Alex Carrier, you know, to have an opportunity to play on the third pair. I mean, the Predators are, you know, they are one of the oldest teams in the league on average. And that is skewed somewhat by the fact that they have a, you know, a 37-year-old goaltender and a 36-year-old defenseman. But, you know, it doesn't change the fact that most of their core players are leaving their prime versus entering it. So, you know, sooner rather than later, they're going to need players like Tomasino, Tolvanen, Afanasyev, et cetera, to enter the league and make a difference.
Give us one last thought, Adam. The other part of the equation, I'm envisioning, you know, I know the focus right now is just to get through this tournament, find a way to crown a champion. Hopefully it's compelling and goes off without having to stop or anything nightmarish like that. So let's say that they're able to do that. The off season is going to be very, very interesting because they have to assess what the salary cap is. They're going to take theoretically a couple of months off. But that's really not that long of an offseason to try to sign free agents. I'm just wondering, from the standpoint of a Craig Smith or a Mikael Granlund or any other unrestricted free agent, what that does to their thinking in terms of how you go about it. Do you sign another one-year deal? You're probably not going to get the lucrative 4 or 5 year contract that you otherwise might have gotten.
No, and that's a good point. You know, I think that's something that a lot of these pending unrestricted free agents are going to have to grapple with. You know, the number one pending unrestricted free agent in the NHL this summer, if I'm not mistaken, is Taylor Hall. Now, if you're Taylor Hall, do you take a one-year deal with, you know, the Arizona Coyotes or another team and try your luck with an 82-game season in terms of, you know, boosting your value even more? Or, you know, I think a lot of those free agents are going to have to grapple with that. One other thing that I think might be interesting, I think we saw it in the NBA. Now, his name escapes me, unfortunately, but there is a player for the Washington Wizards who is a pending free agent who has decided to opt out of returning to play, you know, in order to save himself for free agency, in order to give himself the best earning potential. And I'm not sure NHL players would do the same, but I think it would be interesting if there were any pending unrestricted free agents in the NHL who decided to sit this one out in order to protect themselves leading into free agency. But, you know, it is going to be very different because we know that, you know, under normal circumstances, we'd be looking at free agency in 2 days, July 1st.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we're looking at free agency potentially on Halloween, October 31st. So, you know, it makes for a very interesting summer for sure.
Yeah, and just from the Predators' end, I just wonder, you know, what the thinking is from David Poile, et cetera, because of all of what you just laid out of, is there a chance I could get somewhat of a bargain or at least a one-year extension, so to speak, on a Craig Smith and or a Mikhail Granlund? Can you squeeze it in there if you don't have to make the long-term commitment? These are all things that we'll have plenty of time to discuss down the road that we're just setting the table for now. Adam, thanks a lot. Great stuff as always, and we'll check in with you again here very soon.
All right, before the end of the show, make sure you ask Marquise about our NBA 2K online series.
Oh, yeah, I was actually going to bring that up, how that's going. I've heard it's been
Marquise
heated.
Also can name you the guy on the Wizards.
It's Davis, but his not last name is like Bartons or Burtons. Davis Burtons.
Yeah.
He's a forward.
I couldn't remember his name or how to pronounce it.
But, yeah, that's the player. And, yeah, the series is tied 2-1, Adam. Close games, though.
Yes, 2 games decided by 1 point and 1 game decided in overtime.
Competitive nature. That's all about. And it's the Grizzlies versus the Pelicans. So I got the Grizzlies, so I got to represent.
Well, thanks, Adam. Appreciate the time.
All right, guys, thanks.
Adam Vingan of The Athletic. And there's a statement the NHL actually just put out there. We'll tell you what it says when we come back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.